At the end of last year, I presented two lessons involving our need for spiritual strength. One of those lessons was a very broad, general lesson about the strength of the Lord. And the second lesson involved how you and I can obtain the strength of the Lord. We do not obtain it miraculously. It is not something that comes upon us mystically, but rather our strength comes from a diligent study and application of the Word of the living God in our lives. I noted that I wanted to continue talking about spiritual strength in several more lessons in this upcoming year, and I want us to talk today about why we need to be strong in the Lord. There's going to be two lessons connected with this particular concept. One of them is this: things we need strength to do. There are some things that you and I just need the strength of the Lord to accomplish. And then notice, secondly, things we need the strength of the Lord to stand against. There are many things out there that are in opposition to Christianity. There are many things out there that are striving to get us to lose our souls. And you and I have to be prepared to stand against those things. The problem is, those things are spiritual in nature. They are very strong in nature. And you and I, to survive them, need the strength of the Lord. Today, the title of our lesson is this: why we need to be strong in the Lord. Things we need strength to do. We're only going to be talking about 3 points in this lesson. Number one, you and I need strength to serve. When you and I became Christians, the Bible teaches us that in that particular position in the world, that you and I are to serve. And there are two individuals or groups of individuals that you and I are responsible for serving. Number one, we are to serve our God. And that is our ultimate responsibility, isn't it? The Bible tells us, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may," listen to him, "serve God with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Every day when I arrive to walk in newness of this day, I need to have my mindset. I want to do everything I can do to serve my God. But we also have been called to serve others, haven't we? Paul writes in Galatians 5:13, "Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." I have the responsibility of making certain that my fellow man is properly served by me as well. But being a servant is not an easy task. When you and I really give ourselves to the service of God, there are going to be things happen to us. There are going to be things through which we go as servants that are going to test our strength in the Lord, aren't there? Take, for instance, to be a servant, especially of God, you have to give up your will in order to fulfill the will of the Almighty God. Folks, that's not an easy task. You and I have our wants. You and I have our desires. We have our longings, don't we, for our own life. And all of a sudden, God calls us to do something else, and I have to fight myself at times in order to do what God wants me to do rather than the things that I want to do. Secondly, sometimes serving involves jobs that other people just don't want to do. Serving involves the grit, the grime, the dirt, the nasty, the stinky. It involves getting down on our knees. It involves humbling ourselves. It involves sometimes blood, sweat, and tears. And sometimes those are just not the jobs that many want to do. Notice thirdly, service oftentimes involves doing the same things over and over and over and over and over and over. Do I need to keep on? And over again, don't they? Many of us became Christians at the ages of 12, 13, 14 years old. And now we are the ages of 60, 70, 80 years old. And we've been attending worship services every time the doors open. We've been going to Bible classes every time the doors are open. We've been participating in the works of the church over and over and over and over. And sometimes those things can grow somewhat monotonous, and yet we know that deep inside, to serve our God, we have to do those things, don't we? Two, service sometimes involves long hours. It means rising early in the morning. It means staying up late at night. It means the loss of sleep. And when we have to do that day after day, that's difficult at times. Serving often involves little thanks, doesn't it? There's often times that we perform all kinds of services and no one ever tells us, "That's a good job. We appreciate what you've done." Sometimes there's no fruit for the one who is a servant at all. There's no reward that's given to that particular individual. No accolades, no income, no assets. It's just a matter of total giving of self, isn't it? And here's the real frustrating one. When you seek to serve another, and the only thing that individual can do is criticize and complain and gripe about what you are trying to do on that individual's behalf. Folks, every one of those things can cause us to grow weary when it comes to service, doesn't it? It causes us to wonder, why am I doing this? It causes us to want to throw up our hands and say, you know, I think I'll just quit and let somebody else do it. You see, it's in those times that we need the strength of the Lord. And here's what's interesting. That strength is found in the Word of the living God. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? It's hard to imagine that me as a servant can go to this book and find strength from God to serve. And yet, folks, there are many passages in the Bible that if you and I truly believe them, if you and I truly will put them in practice in our lives, they will make us strong servants of the Almighty God. Take, for instance, Hebrews 6, verse 10. That passage teaches us this: God will not forget one thing that you and I do as His ministers. Notice what the text says. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered unto the saints and do minister. Isn't that amazing? Others may forget. Others may never say thank you. Other individuals may not care what I've done. In fact, they may even criticize and gripe about all the things that I do. But guess what? God will never forget one action that I perform in His name on His behalf. It's a wonderful thought, isn't it? Secondly, folks, the Bible says that if you and I will just continue to serve, if you and I will just continue to give ourselves to the ministry, that guess what? One of these days, you and I are going to reap. Notice what Paul says. And be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, listen to him, if we faint not. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't quit. Just keep on doing the things that you know that you're supposed to do. And one of these days, There are going to be blessings untold for you as a servant of God. And here's the third point. Folks, regardless of who cares, any time that I take upon me the role of a servant, I am manifesting Jesus Christ in my life. In John 13, beginning at verse 14, Jesus has just finished washing the disciples' feet. And listen to what He says. If I then, your Lord and Master, do what? Have washed your feet? Then ye ought also to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Now notice what he says. For if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Did you hear it? If I truly understand that when I am down on my knees washing feet, when I'm doing those dirty, nasty jobs that nobody wants, when I'm doing those things wherein there's no thanks, I am doing exactly what Jesus did. I am manifesting the very presence of Jesus in my life. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It doesn't care. I don't care who gives me thanks. I don't care who appreciates it. I don't care if I have to do it 1,000 times over and over and over again. I rise and I'm happy. Why? Because I know that I am doing exactly what Jesus did. To me, there's no greater thought than that. Strength to serve. Folks, it's found in the Word of God. Secondly, we need strength to be faithful, don't we? What is faithfulness? How about this definition? Faithfulness involves the constant expression of our faith, watch this, in every area of our lives. Folks, faithfulness isn't just about coming to this building on Sunday. Oh, I went to worship. I'm faithful. Where do we learn that? Faithfulness is a daily practice, isn't it? Faithfulness is a practice that involves here at the building, outside of the building, in my home, at work, in my recreation, regardless of where I am. Faithfulness involves the expression of faith in every area of life. And Paul says that God requires faithfulness in every steward. Notice, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And folks, that's what we are. We are stewards of the Christian religion, aren't we? We are stewards of our souls. And it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, the Bible says. But faithfulness involves some mental toughness, doesn't it? Let's talk about some things. You see, faithfulness is monotonous. It's similar to service, isn't it? You do the same thing over and over and over again, and that faithfulness has to be relentless. It has to be done over a long period of time. Faithfulness does not always bear fruit. We may study with 100 people. We may spend hours and hours and hours trying to convince individuals of the truth of the gospel, and not one of them ever obeys the gospel. Not one ounce of fruit from all of that labor. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to be faithful, aren't I? I go to 101, 102, 103, and I just keep being faithful. Whether I'm bearing fruit or not, that's difficult at times. Notice, faithfulness sometimes involves an abundance of sacrifice. Sacrifice of my time, sacrifice of my talents, sacrifice of my monies and my assets for the Lord. And notice that faithfulness is not appreciated by the world, is it? The world will laugh. The world will scoff. The world will make fun of us because of all that we do for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice this, that faithfulness involves our sometimes having to suffer wrongs from other individuals. Faithfulness, too, is discounted sometimes by, watch this, brothers and sisters in Christ who aren't faithful. That's sad, isn't it? Oh, you and your little church down there. Oh, you and your little works. Oh, all you give is your time down there. And they just make fun of us for striving to be faithful and striving to do what God wants us to do. Folks, it's not a matter of bringing glory and honor to self. It's a matter of trying to bring glory and honor to God, isn't it? And even our unfaithful brethren don't get it and don't appreciate it and will sometime ridicule us. Notice, too, there are times when faithfulness involves standing all by yourself. You look around and you see others are wilting. You see others wavering. You see others who are quitting. You see others who refuse to take a stand. And there you are. And you have to remain faithful, folks. It takes a lot of strength. A lot of strength to stay faithful to our God. And again, that strength comes right from this book. That's, again, hard to imagine, isn't it? You mean to tell me, Vic, that I can go into that book and I can find the strength that I need to stay faithful and dedicated and steadfast to my Lord? Absolutely. Notice this passage, Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man shall what? Shall be blessed. Folks, that's just a big, broad promise, is it not? But who is that promise made by? That promise is made by the Almighty God, is it not? Here's a being who cannot lie. Here's a being who will tell the truth all the time. A faithful man shall what? Abound with blessings one of these days. You will be blessed beyond measure for your faithfulness. It may not be in this life. Did you know that? I may struggle here as a Christian all my life, and I may never receive one physical blessing from anything that I do for Christ. Everything that I do for Christ may cause me trouble and difficulty and hardship, but one of these days, when my Lord comes again, there will be blessing. Notice what Jesus says. And the Lord said, who then is that what? Faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give him their portion in due season. Blessed is that man whom, when his Lord cometh, shall find him what? So doing. Not sitting on the sideline. Not quitting Christianity and going back out into the world. But who is the Lord going to bless? Who is He going to make ruler? Who is He going to give Him His portion in due season to the one whom the Lord finds doing when He comes? Folks, when our Lord comes again, He'll bless the faithful. And one of those blessings is going to be eternal joy, isn't it? Jesus told a parable about a 5, 2, and 1 talent man. And two of those men were blessed because they were faithful in their service. The Lord returns. The 5-talent man has doubled his talents and he appears before his Lord, shows him what he's done, and here's what the Lord says. Well done, thou good and, listen to him, faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Eternal joy. I've often made the statement that I wish that every human being could experience eternal joy for 2 minutes before they die. Wouldn't that be wonderful? It doesn't matter what time of your life it falls in. Whether you're a teenager, whether you're in your teens, whether you're in your adult, late adult years, it doesn't matter. Just let us experience 2 minutes of eternal joy. And guess what, folks? You do everything you could possibly do to receive that in the hereafter. The faithful will also experience victory, won't they? We've been studying the Revelation, and I believe Revelation 17, 14 is the key verse of the whole book. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. Folks, our God wins the victory over evil in the last day. Evil is going to be totally annihilated. Satan and all of his allies are going to be cast into the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. And there's going to be victory for the Lamb and for those who are called and chosen. Notice that last word. And faithful. You can't piddle around with your Christianity. You can't just hope that God is going to bless you. Oh no, folks, victory comes to those who are called and chosen and faithful. Can you imagine? Victory over Satan. Victory over the world. Victory over flesh. Victory over sin. Victory over death. Victory with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Why? Because you are faithful. You'll abound in blessings. You'll be blessed when the Lord comes again. One of those blessings will be eternal joy, and another one of those blessings will be victory. Why wouldn't anyone want to be faithful if they truly understand those four things? Thirdly, you and I need strength to endure, don't we? That little word endure is an interesting term. It means this: to hold out, to sustain, to undergo, to bear up under the struggles and under difficulties and under pressure. And notice the parenthetical expression: all without yielding. If I'm a person who can endure, I never yield. I stand strong, I stand firm, I stand steadfast, regardless of that through which I go. The Bible exhorts us to endure, doesn't He? You turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Paul tells Timothy in that same letter, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, that he is to watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Timothy, endure afflictions. Folks, hardships, trials, perils, difficulties, it's just a part of the Christian life, isn't it? And it's not easy. And there are some individuals who will have their strength zapped from them when they truly have to struggle. Sometimes the things through which we go are false accusations, aren't they? Sometimes we find ourselves going through persecutions that it really involve pain and anguish and suffering and sorrow. Sometimes there are great losses that Christians must experience. It might be the loss of assets. It might be the loss of life that is around us. Sometimes we have to constantly labor. And you can't give up, folks. You're down. You're discouraged. Things are not profitable. Things are not abundant. And guess what I've got to do? I've just got to keep on doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I've got to endure. And lastly, Sometimes I just have to fight the battle all by myself, don't I? And to do that, sometimes I have to do it over a long period of time. You know what God says? I want you to endure. I want you to be there, and I want you never, ever to yield. I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to stop ever. That's not easy to do, is it? But God provides us with strength in His Word to be people who can endure those hardships. Look at this passage of Scripture. He promises us if we will endure, we have a building of God on the other side, folks. Notice what Paul writes. For which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish, yet our inner man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now notice what he says in chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Who cares if they beat you? Who cares if they rip the flesh from your skin? Who cares if they saw you asunder? Who cares if they crucify you? Who cares if they starve you to death? Folks, we have a building of God on the other side, a house not made with physical hands, but made by God. And it's eternal in the heavens. Do you believe that promise? If you believe that, you ought to be able to endure anything, shouldn't you? Notice what James says in James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. If I will endure, one day I'll stand on the victory platform, and a crown of life will be placed upon my head. We just talked about that crown of victory, did we not? The Stephanos. But now a crown of life. There's going to be a crown of glory there as well. Folks, we are going to be rewarded immensely. If what? If we'll just endure to the very end. Three things that you and I need strength to do. Number one, strength to serve. Number two, strength to be faithful. And number three, strength to endure. Now guess what? Every one of those three words are intertwined with one another, aren't they? And what's interesting is this, that strength isn't something that just comes miraculously. It's not something that comes mystically. It's not like I'm in a temptation, I'm in a struggle, and all of a sudden God just says, bloop, here, have a little strength. Oh no, that's not the way it works. Folks, our strength comes from a diligent study of God's holy and divine Word. And once I have a knowledge of what God says, then guess what I better do? I better apply faith to everything that God tells me. Faith involves three things. Number one, faith believes facts. A while ago, Paul says this, for our light affliction is but for a moment. Do you believe that? Someone's in jail because he's preached the truth and he's awaiting a death sentence. And he's in that prison cell for 5 years before he is executed. That's a long time, isn't it? Paul says two things about that trial. It's a light affliction, and it's but for a moment. Someone goes out into the mission field, And he contracts a very serious illness. And that illness now affects him for the next 30 years of his life. Folks, that's a long time to us, isn't it? Something I have to suffer because I have served my Lord. It's a light affliction which lasts but a moment. That's hard to believe, isn't it? But see, I've got to believe the facts. And if I can put those words in my mind and believe them, then guess what? I know that this is really something that I can endure because it is light, and it is something that, yes, will eventually end because I'm only going to suffer it for a short time. That is, only as long as I live. Secondly, my faith has to embrace the promises. We have a building of God, Paul says. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Do you really believe there's a heaven? Do you really believe that on the other side of this life there is a spiritual body, a tabernacle that awaits you and you will dwell in that forever and ever and ever? See, I've got to believe that. I've got to grasp that promise and hold tight to it, don't I? And thirdly, my faith has to obey the commands. Be not weary in well-doing, Paul said. I've got to do what God wants me to do. Believe the facts. Embrace the promises. Obey the commands of God. Folks, that's exactly what faith is. And I've got to do it every day of my life, regardless of what comes into it. And if I do, I'll possess the strength of the Lord. Faith believes everything God says. Faith expects God to perform on its behalf. Isn't that something? I can expect God to do things. Why? Because He said He would. That's why. And I believe that. So my faith expects God to do things for me. Faith also is that which remains when everything else is removed and the only person I can trust is, guess who? God. That's faith. I can't trust family. Can't trust my church family. Can't trust anybody in the world to save me. Can't trust my riches. The only person I can trust is God, folks. That's where faith is. And notice this last statement. It's found in Mark 9, 23 and 24. A man comes to the disciples of Jesus and he has a son who is possessed with a demon. Because of this demon, the child is dumb and cannot speak. Sometimes this demon casts him in the water in an attempt to drown him. Sometimes this demon has cast him into a fire and has burned his body. And the disciples of Jesus haven't been able to cast this demon out, so now the man approaches Jesus. And Jesus makes a statement. To him that believeth, all things are possible. Isn't that amazing? He puts everything squarely on the shoulders of this individual. Do you really, truly believe that I can do this? In the very next verse, verse 24, the man responds. The Bible says that he shouts out to Jesus, and not only shouts out to Jesus, but that he's pouring tears as he makes this statement, and I believe it's probably where most of us are in our spiritual lives. He cries out and he says, I believe! Help thou my unbelief. Folks, isn't that where we are? so oftentimes as Christians. We want to believe. We think we believe. We'll acknowledge our belief, but sometimes we need a little bit of help in that too, don't we? But my friends, if we'll just stay steadfast, if we'll just stay faithful, if we'll just endure to the end, blessings and rewards will abound in our lives. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Aren't you glad we have that strength to rely upon in this evil world? My friend, if you're out there in the world and you're living as the world lives, you don't have the Lord in your lives. And Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We need Him, don't we? And with Him, we can do everything. And nothing is impossible. Maybe today you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You need to submit to the gospel of Jesus Christ by believing Him as the Son of God, repenting of sins, confessing the name of Jesus, and submitting to the watery grave of baptism for the remission of sins. Dear Christian, does your life truly manifest the strength of the Lord? We can't do it by ourselves. We've got to rely upon Him. Maybe you've erred, maybe you've sinned, maybe you've faltered, maybe you need to come back. You need to repent and ask Him to forgive you. Won't you come as we stand and sing?